The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please do be seated. I want you just to turn very quickly to the person next to you and see if you can remember a time when you got really mucky, really dirty, or covered in mud, or something like that. You've got about 15 seconds. One of you, share with the person next to you if you can remember a time when that's ever happened to you. Right, let's just stop you there. You can share other stories afterwards. I can remember a couple of occasions. One was when I was a youngster at school. They used to make us do something called the bog trot at school, and that was particularly mucky and disgusting. But I remember a few years ago, we were on holiday down in near Mudderford in Dorset, and there's these places called the Stanpit Marshes near the sea, and they're really beautiful. And I thought I'd take Ben and Sammy, we'd go on a walk through these marshes, and it was fine to begin with. They had these long planks that you walk along, and it was fine, and you're amongst the marshes. And then all of a sudden, the planks just disappeared, and you just had to wade through these squelchy, smelly, mucky marshes full of old seawater and mud. So that by the time we managed to escape, it wasn't that dramatic, really, but it was good fun. All the way up to our knees was just covered in disgusting, marshy, mucky mud and water. And we said that we would meet Claire and James, who's only very little in town at that point. We'd go in the shops and maybe go to a coffee shop. But of course, me and the two boys turn up, and sort of from the waist down, we are absolutely filthy, disgusting, shivering and cold. And no chance of us going into any of these nice shops or sitting in a coffee shop. So I think we just had to wait outside shivering while Claire and James had a nice time inside the shops. Because sometimes being unclean stops you from going the places you would go. If you'd been on a long muddy walk or a tough mudder, you wouldn't then suddenly go to the Ritz for afternoon tea. You would need cleaning. You would need purifying. Today in our Bible readings, we're thinking about the need for purity. Purity is one of those words that in 2024 sounds very old-fashioned and irrelevant, doesn't it? But actually, I don't think it is. Only 4 years ago, each and every one of us were obsessed with purity, weren't we? It's probably the biggest drive for purity in the whole of human history. Everyone was using hand sanitizer every 5 minutes. We were separated from one another by 2 meters. There was restricted movement to where we could go, self-isolation, face masks, absolutely the whole world focused on trying to be pure from the virus. You see, in serious situations, we recognize the need for purity. But that's purity on the outside. What about purity on the inside? Well, our culture struggles to find any reason why we would be bothered about impurity. After all, we're told on adverts and on the media that we are fine the way we are worth it. But the truth is, and many of us know this, if we're honest with ourselves, we do and we pick up stuff in life that makes us unclean. The Bible calls that sin, and that causes a barrier between us and God. I remember being about 17 or 18 and realizing that for the first time, and someone on an Alpha course explained that to me. I actually went home feeling sick because it had been such a sort of earth-shattering realization that the stuff we do and pick up in life causes uncleanness and a barrier between us and God. And that's a problem because Jesus says this famously on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," or "happy are the pure in heart." Why? "For they will see God." So if we want to see God, we need to be pure. We need to have pure hearts. Only the pure can be with God. Imagine you turned up for church today, excuse me, and the size person say to you, "I'm sorry, you can't come in today. You're unclean. You can't come in today." I'm sure that didn't happen. I hope not, anyway. You've done or said something this week that puts you in a place of separation from God. You can't come in. Well, if that was the case, none of us would be here, including myself, because we all sin. But the good news that we see in the Bible today is that true inner purity, the kind that we need, is found not in the traditions of humans, as the Pharisees mistakenly thought, but in Christ and in the unchanging Word of God. So we're just going to think quickly just about these purity laws. So these are laws, commands in the Bible that describe ways of remaining or being pure, okay? And we just need to think about who are they for, firstly? Who are these purity laws for? Well, we need to make a distinction between two things, the Old Covenant, or what we read about in the Old Testament, and the New Covenant. And it's not just as simple as, oh, we don't worry about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant anymore, we only think about the New Testament. But there is a distinction we need to make. So let's have a look at our first reading that comes from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says, "So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I'm teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, your God of your ancestors, is giving you. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." So these commands about how to remain pure, how to live in a certain way so that you don't pick up dirt along the way, were designed to show that the Jewish nation at this point, the people of Israel, as being distinct, as being separate, that there was something different about them to all the other tribes and nations on earth at that time. God had chosen them, and the idea we saw in that reading was that people would be able to look at them and say, there's no other nation like that who live with God so closely, who observe these kind of rules out of respect and love for God. But we read even earlier on, way back in the book of Genesis, how the purpose was all for this was to get this people ready for God's chosen rescuer. That was the purpose of all of these things, to get the people ready for God's chosen rescuer, the Lord Jesus. They were to be distinct, preparing themselves for the Messiah. And when Jesus came, some of them were ready. They understood, but others were not. But the question we're probably wondering is, when I read these, do these still apply today? It's a good question. And the answer is yes and no. There are three types of kind of purity or kind of commands or laws we read about in the Old Testament. And they can roughly be broken up into ceremonial, so to do with kind of the things to do with worship in the temple. The civil law, so like we have laws in our country describing, you know, what should happen if someone kills someone, something like that. And the moral law, okay, ceremonial, civil, and moral. And those remain valid up and through the life of Christ. He was obeying those, the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral. But there's been a shift because we're no longer under the old covenant Through Jesus, we are under a new covenant. Covenant just means an agreement between God and us. You're under the new covenant. So James actually tells us how we are to live in the light of being in the new covenant. So he says this in James 1:21. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has power to save your souls. He's talking to Christian believers, and he's saying it does still matter how you live. You see, we don't live under the ceremonial law anymore, or under the civil law of those Old Testament believers, but we still live under the moral law. So the morality that guided them still guides us today. So hence why the answer is yes and no in terms of how we approach them. But there are two errors you can make. One is called legalism and the other one is called antinomianism. And it's got nothing to do with gnomes. Legalism is, right, by just I have to perfectly obey all of these laws and then at the end of that, God will be happy with me and he'll have to let me into heaven. That's called legalism. That's miserable and horrible and wrong. But the other one is antinomianism. Well, God will love me anyway. It doesn't really matter what I do. I can just live however I want. And that's wrong as well. But James is saying something else happens. You see, the Holy Spirit takes God's word and convicts us of the truth of them on the inside and our need to live them out. So what's their purpose then in our life today? Well, firstly, they show us our problem. This is written in Mark 7. Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside of a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." Now, a big worry 2,000 years ago to the people who were around Jesus was that if you, by touching certain things, unclean things, that might make you unclean as well. It's a bit like we're worried about, you know, being too near someone with COVID. That will make us have it as well. But they were thinking that would happen with their purity. So if Jan sort of, he's got a bit of a nasty, itchy skin disease, and, well, I tap him on the shoulder, oh, no, I'm unclean. And that means I can't go to the temple to worship or anything. I have to go through cleansing rites, and once I've proved that I haven't got whatever he's got, they'll let me back in. There was that big worry about that, and that becomes such a concern for many people. That's external purity. But what Jesus is getting at here is much more important than that, is purity on the inside. N.T. Wright, a famous writer, once Bishop of Durham, said, "The purity laws he's suggesting point to the real need of humans for a deeper purity, a purity of motive, pure motives." You see, the laws about purity can't save us. They were never designed to do. Just like a COVID test can't heal you of COVID. All it can do is show you whether you've got it or not. It can't make you better. That's the purpose of these, to show what's wrong and our need for it to be fixed. So then lastly, how can we be pure? Well, God provides the answer. And we see that in Jesus' relationship with these purity laws. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is totally obedient to those laws. But his compassion and power always win out. Let me explain what I mean. In Mark chapter 5, there's a famous, wonderful story of a woman who's been suffering with this blood disease for years and years and years, and she's terrified. She would have been considered unclean, impure, unable to go pretty much anywhere. And in this moment of little childlike faith, she goes up behind Jesus and she just grabs just a the fold of his cloak. And in that moment, she is healed. Jesus turns around and said, "Who did that?" And he invites her to come forward. And basically, it's her faith that had made her better. You see, what normally would have happened is that would have made Jesus unclean because he's been touched by someone who was unclean. But because of Jesus' power and compassion, it actually works backwards, do you see? Making her clean. He's not made unclean, but his power and compassion makes her clean. And he's able to do that for us too. You see, the cross is the great purity swap. Because at the cross we see our impurity, our sin, taken on by Christ at the cross, suffering as the innocent Son of God. But also something else happens for those who believe in him, trust in him, that Christ's purity now clothes us. Christ's purity clothes us. John Henry Newman said, "He who is all purity came to an impure race to raise them to his purity." So what are we going to do about this? Two things to do. One, if you're trying to make yourself pure, trying to do all the things, whether that's going to church or trying to do all these good things to get to heaven, stop it. It won't work, okay? That's what the Pharisees got wrong. Instead, trust Christ swapping his purity for your purity at the cross. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you are trusting him, let his commitment to you be the thing that kind of spurs you on to desire to be pure in all areas of life. We had some examples given there at the end of the gospel. You might just want to reflect on those. If you're struggling with those, that's okay. But the thing is, what are we going to do about that? Let Christ's commitment to you spur you on to be pure in all areas of your life. R. Kent Hughes said, pray daily and specifically for your own purity. Don't be obsessed about it, but take it seriously, because God does. You see, how you use your body, what you look at, what you listen to, what you say, what you think, what you do, let that honor Christ. And just want to say, this isn't a burden. This is a joy. This is a freedom. And after all, look to Christ. Amen.